Hello, I'm Barry Conway, and you're listening to the Upiongo Line, and our back-in-the-day host, Martina Koulis, in conversation with Robbie Anderman, recorded at his Morning Glory Farm. As promised, here's Robbie, rooting around the old Morning Glory Farm, where he manages to find one of those old dulcimers he once made from local wood.
And this is one of the mountain
dulcimers,
that's what it is.
Sounds in tune anyway. Anything there?
Bravo! Encore! I've never heard one before.
Ah.
It's a very interesting instrument for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And this one you made, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Those,
all
those
four?
Those are my first four.
Wow.
So, do we want to go to questions?
Yes.
Otherwise, I could play all night.
We can jump into the questions. That would be okay with me, but I guess we should get to that too. I guess my question would be, how do you relate yourself for Morning Glory kind of to the people who used to live here?
How do I relate?
Or how are you similar or different, I guess? All of the above.
Well, that's a big question. And it's, well, interestingly, I probably mentioned that my father's family came from a town 50 miles east of where the Venuses came from.
Yes, yeah, you were saying that.
However, the difference there is that the Venuses in Poland, Galicia, they were farmers. Mm-hmm. And my father's family were into, well, my great-grandfather was a wood turner.
What exactly is a wood turner?
Do you know what a lathe is?
You can inform me.
A lathe is basically two pins.
Okay.
Holding a block of wood, like you can make a flute with a lathe.
Okay.
And what you do is, it's a block usually, whatever shape, and you as it turns, and in the old days it was a foot pedal, a treadle.
Oh, okay.
You know, like a sewing machine treadle.
Yeah.
And it'd be you'd take a sharp chisel. Mm-hmm. Especially shaped for doing this kind of work, and you touch it, that piece of wood, until it takes the form you want it to take.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, let's say is just you want to make a dowel or a straight rod.
Mm-hmm.
And but then, you know, like a spindle in a staircase, that would be very common for a wood turner.
Okay, yeah.
Or yep. Your chair backs or chair legs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're precision made. And you have a I'm not a wood turner, but I can imagine.
Yeah. Quite literally the name, I guess.
Yeah. And his son, who's also a convoluted tale, but who's also my great-grandfather, had a shop like Hearn's in Berry's Bay. Mm-hmm. In other words, it was a farm supply.
Oh,
you know, grain, you'd buy and sell, you know, from what farmers brought in for what the farmers needed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, making a contact with the outside world who supplied the steel or whatever was needed.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it was connected earthwise that way. There is a tale of someone way back there having land that they lived on. But don't know that story too much. But anyway, so there's a big difference. So my grandfather immigrated as a wood turner and was an objector to World War I. Mm-hmm. And then as a wood turner.
Yeah.
And then he was went up and practiced his art. And then my father, again with his hands, became a dentist. So whereas the Beanishes lived on the land, all, you know, and have that connection, which, you know, I got through scouting and summer camp and going camping and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I guess now, presently, do you think, I guess, comparing the two families or the lifestyles, it would be?
Again, I'm more on the craftsman and writer side and musician, and yet loving the trees.
Yeah.
And loving the gardening, but I'm not a livestock farmer in the sense of animals. I'm a livestock farmer. You know, my livestock has roots.
Yeah, that's fair to say. Mm-hmm. Can do a lot with that too.
I mean, and they had an orchard here, so we have that similarity. We've drunk the same water. We lived on the same land.
Yeah,
I've been here longer than any Beanish lived on the same land.
Yeah,
but. So, you know, there's that most, the greatest commonality is just how to survive on the land. In a way, they were so much better than me, you know, because they were providing all their food.
Yeah.
You know, if there's good, bad, you know, better and worse.
With all of it. Good and bad.
Does that approximate anything to your question?
Yeah, I think that kind of hits it on point.
I mean, they had cars, they used kerosene lamps, and we did it first. And yeah. We went to propane. And again, this is, as I mentioned before, this is like... I came from a town of 23,000, so that's like Pembroke. With running water, hot and cold running water, and electricity just taken for granted. Television, we got one of the early televisions in the, maybe around 1950 or so.
Oh, okay.
I don't really remember the date of that. As a matter of fact, you know, and then there's radio and there's record players. And now, I don't know if the Beanishes had radio, but they probably had a way to do that.
Yeah.
But they had no hydro, and we inherited that from them.
Yeah, because there's no hydro still in the farmhouse there, right?
No, not on this land at all.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking hydropower?
Oh, the solar power, right? Yeah. Yes, yes. Yep, that's probably much better.
It's different?
Yes.
And some say, yes, that 120 hertz, the volts, you know, with the 60 hertz, is a vibration that isn't the best for the human body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not an expert in that, but I've heard that tale.
Yes, I guess there's both sides to everything.
And the other is that, you know, we paid.
Yes.
And now we don't pay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Once they're installed and you actually have them, I guess it's better, but...
Well, it means that we're not paying a bill every month.
Yeah, yeah. In the wintertime, do you find a difference, or...?
Well, there's less power, there's less light, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the body naturally would hibernate. I mean, the Beanishes said they'd stay up and, you know, do handwork by a kerosene lamp.
Mm-hmm.
And writing and reading.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we do with solar and...
Yeah.
We used to do with propane lights, too.
Oh, okay. And you were talking a bit about the transportation, kind of how you started off with having none, really? And then it got...
Well, I started off with a red van, which I then left with, leaving Michael with nothing.
Oh, poor Michael.
And I forget who else was here with him.
Not in the middle of winter, hopefully.
No, it was mid-July, early July.
Luckily.
And then came back with it, but then after we came back in November, and come spring, something was wrong and I just parked it. And I hitched. Traveled around that way.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to meet a lot of the locals, I guess.
That too, but I also went, you know, further distances. And mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to also, that was at the winter 71, 72. I lived in the dome with the mother of my older kids, Mary McDade, and Jackson, who was then a year old. Or became a year that winter, and with Dave Bush and Liz Sansom, who conceived their daughter Amber while during the winter. And that was our pioneer winter for sure. We had no transportation. We had a 40-foot dome that was 3 stories high, and no firewood.
Oh no.
And Dave was able to sharpen well a 2-person saw.
Yeah.
And like that one up there.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, those
never
would come
one?
In handy. I've never used one, but I've seen them before.
When I get strong?
That's a fast way, I'm sure, to build muscle.
It's not fast, but it's
over time? Yeah. So that's how you cut your wood then that winter?
Yeah, we were on the hills, halfway up the hillside, and we'd go down the hill, cross the frozen creek, cut down a dead elm tree, cut it up in 4-foot lengths, drag it up the hill to the dome, cut it into 3 pieces, take it inside with the dirt floor and split it there, feed the fire, and go get more. All winter long.
Yeah, I'm sure you were very busy with that.
Well, that and melting snow to wash diapers.
Oh, yeah. Having a 1-year-old? Yep. And for food, what did you have? Or?
Actually, this dried food, I think, is what we had.
Yeah.
And occasionally went to town by walking to the neighbors and calling the cab.
Okay, who was the cab then?
Cyril Sullivan, I think.
Okay, from Wilno or where?
No, Killaloo.
Killaloo. That's what I'm hearing. Oh, there was quite a few taxis around here, and now I'm like, oh, not anymore.
No, it makes no sense, though.
No.
But it's like, move to the country and get a vehicle.
Yeah, it's because it's far distances, that's for sure. As we know, we're neighbors, but we're still pretty far.
That's it, yeah. I used to walk a lot more.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm unlikely to remember all the words, but the chorus touches on it. Used to travel all over the place. Millions of people have seen my face. Gas tanks empty, the insurance is gone. All I can do now is sing this song. Still do lots of traveling around. Resales now, much as I can. I might do it somehow. New way of living, and I'm learning slow. Sure, I'm happy that I don't have to go. Sun rising over the hill. Birds are singing and the wind is still. Here it comes now, a brand new day. Turning to live a brand new way. I might do it somehow. New way of living, and I'm learning slow. Sure, I'm happy that I don't have to go. Go across the hills and I go across the plains. I've played in the sun and I danced in the rain. Few songs, sure I'm happy that you have come along. Still lots of traveling around these hills now, much as I can. I might do new feet somehow. New way of living, and I'm learning slow.
Yeah. You wrote that song, right?
Mm-hmm.
What inspired that, or how did you
that come was up? I mentioned before that I was I went to California, stayed for 8 months or so, came mm-hmm. back with a teepee and two dulcimers, this one and another one that's gone now, and sorry, I just had to remember that one.
No worries.
And the people where it went.
Yeah.
And a flute and a backpack and a teepee with, you know, cover liner, etc. And the border people said, what are you doing? And I'm coming up in my land up there and stay for a little bit and go back to California. And they said, sure you are. And they deported me. Well, and I heard it was like a month that they had the power to deport at the border. Mm-hmm. I caught it.
Lucky. Or so unlucky.
So I was sort of, you know, when your life gets cut off like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went around from Detroit, Windsor, Detroit, to Rochester. Stayed with friends at the Zen Center there,
mm-hmm.
who encouraged me and helped me get dressed up neatly and put a tourist information in my pocket and take one dulcimer and one flute, or maybe two flutes. It's hard to imagine leaving one of them behind. And my backpack and leave the teepee. And so they asked me what I was doing. I'm coming to visit friends for a week in Toronto. And I went and visited friends for a week in Toronto. And then came up here for 4 years.
As a side trip.
And I was asked by someone who was here, who was away, if I would caretake the farmhouse. So I took care of the farmhouse. And while I was, one morning I went out to chop wood and all that sudden that song came. So that's what inspired it.
It's funny how it comes to you, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, you were saying that before when we were talking that you kind of are more a musician and you like to write and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably people who did that before who weren't so much into the livestock farming and that too. So.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the growth of the shopkeeper, the town person. It's, you know, it's in our history is actually, human history is actually new,
mm-hmm.
especially augmented by the Industrial Revolution around 1750 and how that grew. People had to either move to town or find a way to do both.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie McCaffrey sort of did both.
Yeah.
He had livestock, but he also earned most of his money through playing music and telling stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he had CDs and...
Oh, yeah.
I think, did he used to play at the tavern as well?
Oh, sure.
I was quite young. I don't think I was around going in there at that time.
But he'd play in many places.
Yes, I'm sure I had Holy heard
Fair,
him.
Different dances, different... at the Polish Day, I think he probably played.
Well, then I would have heard him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Accordion.
Yes.
And he also played a ragtime piano. It was wonderful.
Yes. Oh, that would be good, I'm sure.
It was. Quite lively.
Yeah. So I think you seem to find a lot more entertainment probably for music than the average person who listens in with earphones and that. You more live music.
I like live music, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a collection of CDs and enjoy listening to them. And
yes, yeah. Yeah, hard to fit a grand piano sometimes in a room, but...
No, I only have a piano in there, and there's now one uphill.
Oh, okay,
and
perfect.
There's one in the farmhouse.
Yes, I remember seeing
and Emma
it.
And just got one, so there's four on the farm now.
Oh, wow.
But we've had a piano since, oh, let's say 1990.
Oh.
At least, if not before that.
Oh, here's a good question, I guess. When you first, like, officially moved here, like, more permanently, what were some of the first things that you wanted to have or, I guess, have?
Tools to work a garden. Tools to split wood, cut wood.
That seems very logical.
We also were getting into books.
Mm-hmm.
How to do this, how to do that. There's books up there, sort of like that, and there. There's actually, I've often wished someone here would do something like a Foxfire book. Do you know the Foxfire books?
Mm, Maybe.
Probably not. Okay, this is from southern Appalachia.
Okay.
Maybe Georgia. I'm not sure. I think it may be. And it was the high school teacher figured, wanted to make the connection. So he got high school students to go out into the hills and talk to the old people and learn their skills, or at least have them tell about their skills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then put it together as a book. If you hold this for a sec, I'll show you.
It's much lighter than I thought it would be. Hog dressing, log cabin building, mountain crafts and foods, planting by the signs, snake lore, hunting tales, faith healing, moonshining, and other affairs of plain living. The Foxfire book.
Can you imagine doing that locally?
You would get a lot of good info.
Fiddle making, spring boxes, horse trading, sassafras and berry buckets, gardening, and further affairs of plain living.
I like the
and
first.
There's two more. I mean. Two. Ghost stories, spring wild plant food, spinning and weaving, midwifing, burial customs, corn shuckings, wagon making and more affairs of clean living, animal care, banjos and dulcimers, hide tanning, summer and fall wild plant foods, butter churns, ginseng, and still more affairs of clean living. And, you know, so it's got people doing things.
Oh, it has pictures and everything.
Yeah.
I think the ones that stand out to me are the moonshining, and where's this one? The burial customs.
Oh, yeah, that'd be neat. But can you, like, you know, it's like plans on chimney for what? That's building a lumber kiln.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Floor plans and everything in there. That's awesome. I thought I heard of Foxfire, but not this one, no.
Mm-hmm. Ain't she beautiful?
Yes, yeah. She looks like she's very happy, and I think mm-hmm. that makes people beautiful, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been an interesting project as a high schooler.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there you go interviewing again, right?
Yeah, new project maybe for next year.
Yeah, can build up. Could be a lifetime affair you started.
Maybe, hopefully it will carry on, that's for sure. I know they want to do it again next year, so
oh, good.
We have an ongoing list of people we want to talk to, so
mm-hmm.
we'll see. Yes, I'm happy we got this interview in.
So is there more questions?
I think we've pretty much kind of covered what I was trying to get to, I guess. But mm-hmm. and you've played some wonderful music too, which I think will be great to hopefully add on to it. Barry will have fun editing our mismatched conversation,
oh, right.
shuffling it
oh,
around.
Oh yeah, there's one more song I ought to do that.
Oh, go for it, no problem. Or if there's anything you think of you want to add, it's hard to think sometimes.
It was. Coming from a city, as I was saying, and to come in here, it's, as the song said, it's learning a whole new way of living.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, it's like being at Rochdale and it's like, what do you want to learn? Okay, who else wants to learn it with me? And that's what it's like with people moving here.
Mm-hmm.
You want to learn how to live on Earth.
Yeah.
Instead of how to live in a city, you know, with everything supplied, you know, and all the power and all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even think about that it didn't have electricity here, where some farms to the south, to the east, you know, et cetera, north, had electricity. And so it was moving to the country, but it was bringing those with them. And, you know, I mean, and telephones, I mean, we didn't have telephone until 1984. It was like, let's go visit so-and-so. Oh, they're not home.
And then you learned after walking so far, so many times.
Yeah, exactly.
A phone might come in handy sometimes.
You've heard of the Stone Fence Theater?
Yes.
The main musical writer is Teilhammer.
Okay.
This is a song he wrote for the first play the Upper Madawaska Theater did. It was a play called Place to Roost.
Okay.
And all the people were dressed as chickens, you know, big chicken feet and crests, white crests on their head.
That would have been fun.
Feathers or whatever. Except one guy. He was the weasel. I'm the weasel who cooks chickens in the night. I'm the weasel who cooks who kills chickens, cause they're really easy pickings, and they're tasty as the dickens in the night. Boom, boom. So that's also one of his. But this is the theme song.
Okay.
Which I really tuned into because it talks about a van.
Oh, okay. Not a red van or?
No, just a van.
Close enough.
Everybody needs a place to roost, a place where to call their home. Everybody's needs can be reduced down to love and warmth, food and a home. Well, I came to the land in a beat-up van, me and my family. How to get out there couldn't be no doubt from the urban insanity. Found us a place, we made all the mistakes just to learn and to stay alive. Lessons came dear and still we're here and we're managing to survive. Everybody needs a place to roost, oh, a place where to call their home. Everybody's needs can be reduced out to love and warmth, food and a home. No need to complain, just damage my brain, probably bust a gut. Won't talk about what we did without or what we haven't got. Of course things are fine most all the time, I wouldn't change them if I could. It's nice to know as we watch it all grow that we're doing the earth a bit of good. I tell ya, everybody needs a place to roost, a place where to call their home.
I think that was a good ending for it.
Yes, thank you.
It was very good. Is there anything you wanted to add or no?
Well, Ishtai Heimer wrote that. I used to play it with the You Will Know Express.
Yeah.
And it's music. Music is made in the hills and still is and always was.
Yes.
Singing in one form or another, be it with a drum or strings or
off key or on key.
Off key or on key, exactly.
We'll take it all.
And again, using local wood, it's really nice.
Oh really, it's local wood as well.
Well, this one isn't, but the others are. Yeah.
Wow, very impressive.
Okay, the one on the far left isn't. That's a redwood shingle. Oh. That's the top soundboard.
yeah.
But I made the other two here.
Wow. And they're different shapes and they make different noises or still
they're pretty
the
much
same?
Similar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just, I always thought the one with the snakes was traditional, but then I found out that these are so much easier to make.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would think so.
Because, you know, you got a steam bend, a double curve like that.
Oh, okay.
Double, one, two, three curves.
Yeah. How long does it take to make one of them?
Can't tell you.
Never timed it.
Never timed it.
Time is just a concept.
Yeah, well, it's also like, what else am I doing that week?
Yes, that's true.
It's possible to live here. It's possible to live close to the land and not be so dependent on the outside world. I mean, that's what the Beanishes told us. The Beanishes and the Burkhats. We got them together a few years ago in the farmhouse, which they grew up in.
Yeah.
And we're talking about this, that, and the other thing, and together they all agreed that, you know, we used to work really hard in the old days. But as far as we can tell, we had a whole lot more fun than the young people are nowadays.
That was Robbie Anderman making music on a dulcimer he made himself out of local wood and singing his own songs while talking with Back in the Day host Martina Koulis. It was recorded at Robbie's Morning Glory Farm set deep in the Wilno Hills. We hope you enjoyed today's show, and if you want to hear more about Robbie and the Morning Glory Farm, you might check out the Killaloe Craft Fair, the first weekend in August every year. It's been going on now for nearly 50 years, or as long as Morning Glory Farm has been in operation. It's a great place to buy unique farmhouse products and local artisan and craftware that Robbie and many of his friends who live a simple life in the Wilno Hills make. But it's also a great place where good friends and old neighbors meet up. I'm Barry Conway, and for the entire Upiongo Line production crew who are still on summer holidays, I hope you make it to the Killaloe Craft Fair this year. And as that great American folk singer, Woody Guthrie, used to say, so long, it's been good to know you.